26, find your place there in the pages of God's Word. While you're doing that, and I've got just a tad of a ring up here. Is it ringing out there? All right, it just is up here just a little bit. And so mention a couple things. Number one, pray for us. I'll be flying out to Texas in the morning, not to Hutto, okay? Wish I was. That church hasn't started up yet, so we'll be there probably sometime in the fall or next spring preaching. And service, the constituting the church, and so we'll be looking forward to that time when it gets closer. It's just starting up on the 28th, but last couple years I've been preaching down in Texas for Faber. Many of you remember Lorraine and Sandy Ridings that were part of our church, and Faber's wife Sandy was part of our church here, and so I've been going down the last couple of years and preaching there in Navasota, Texas, in Central Texas, and God's been giving some amazing meetings there, and that's where God began to burden my heart for the need of churches in Texas. You pray for safety, and I've still been dealing with the fallout from everything that I went through there in the UK with my voice and everything. Seems like allergies has just made that a little bit worse, so I probably won't be at the door tonight after the service, but I sure would appreciate your prayers and pray for Traveling Mercy. I only took 2 Sunday meetings this entire spring, and so this is the last one that I'll be away on a Sunday preaching until our church takes the Guyana crusade trip this summer, and I did that on purpose. I just wanted to be here, and it felt like that's where I needed to be, and so I've declined quite a few meetings so that I could be here on Sundays, and so very important. But if you'll pray for this one, I took only 2, and so that was it, and where I'd usually taken much more than that. And so anyway, so pray for that. Pray for safety of travel. We'll be back on Monday and be here for next Wednesday night service. Also, we've been preaching on the Psalms now for how many would say forever? I started in 2021, the fall of 2021. Now, I have preached to where if I went chronologically, we would probably be somewhere in the 60s, okay? Maybe early 70s, okay, number-wise of the Psalms. But I've been preaching, going out and grabbing some. And I felt like I just needed a break. I don't know if you need a break. I need a break just a little bit. So I thought about doing something I probably haven't done in, I'm going to say, 25 years, okay? And so I've called it Ask the Pastor, all right? Now, I may be putting myself out there to get in trouble, okay? I may be doing that. But what I want to do is take, you know, several Wednesdays and ask questions, Bible questions, things related to the Bible. They can be issues that people have questions about. And now if you're going to ask me why there are solar eclipses and if the earth's flat, I'm not going to answer that question, okay? I'm not going to do that. I'm amazed at what sometimes winds up on Facebook, okay? But anyway, I'm not going to say that. All right. No, it's not tonight. Not tonight, Terry. Okay. And anyway, he already had his hand up. He is already ready to go with Ask the Pastor. But anyway, so here's what we're going to do. So there's cards at the information center. Okay. So it's going to start this on April 24th. Don't give me time because I know you're going to ask such questions that I have to do deep theological study to answer them. Already know that, and I'm just kidding. And you may have a Bible question, something on your heart, something I've not addressed. I'd be glad to do that, and we'll see how it goes. See if it's, you know, and see if it's something good or bad or ugly or whatever. And so what you can do is take this card. They're at the information center. You can write your question on it and drop it in a giving station. You can take your phone right now and scan the QR code. Okay. And or there's a QR code on this little card, and it'll take you to a web page, and you can fill out your question electronically and email that to or submit that to us. Your name is optional, okay? You don't have to put your name. Now, if you do, I may not be able to answer. There may be, I don't know. I may get 0 questions, so I will have a message ready to preach on Wednesday, okay? And but if I do, I'll begin to answer some. And, you know, if it's something that, you know, I feel like maybe I won't get to in a service, but, you know, answering that question is important, I would probably send an email or a note to that individual answering that question if you put your name on it. If you don't, that's fine. And I need you to submit your questions by April the 22nd, if you will, okay? And I'm going to take a few Wednesdays and do that and be praying about what the Lord would have us to do, whether we're going to go back to the Hebrew hymn book, the Psalms, or whether what we're going to do something else for a little while. But they just had that on my heart, and I thought we'd do it and see how it goes on Wednesday night. All right, how's that sound, everybody? Is that good? All right, and so you can go ahead and begin submitting your questions. And so for the 24th, though, I'll need that submitted by the 22nd, if you don't mind. All right, that gives me just a little bit of time to look at it and make sure that I have the right answer, okay? And I told the guys, I said, listen, if something comes up that's hard, I'll give it to them, all right? And we'll just go from there. Well, you should be in Psalm 46 tonight. And when you come to Psalm 46, it is a psalm that is near and dear to my heart. I preached on this psalm many, many times. It's a new message, not the same message. I haven't thrown something in a microwave to bring back to you tonight. Something I've freshly studied over the course of some time. And, you know, I began to think about this psalm, and I realized all of us face troubles in life. I face them, you face them. Doesn't matter if a person's saved or unsaved, that everybody alike has troubles that come their way. Job put it best when he said, man that is born of woman is a few days. That means our life is relatively short. I realize that here recently I read in the news that the oldest living woman is 116. All right. I think the oldest living man is right now in Great Britain. I think he's 111. Let me ask you this. What is that compared to eternity? It's just a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. Life is short, and Job put it this way, and full of trouble, that we all are going to face troubles in life. And as long as we live in this fallen world, troubles are going to come, and many times, and most of the time, they are unexpected and they are unwelcomed in our lives. I don't know about you, I don't like trouble. Do you like trouble? I don't like difficulty and hardship and trial and temptation and tragedy. I don't like that in my life. You don't like it in your life, but yet we're all going to face it this side of heaven. And that is the subject of the psalm before us. Look, if you would, as a matter of fact, it is the very last word in verse number 1. Notice what the Bible said. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Did you see that? God said that He's our help in trouble. Now, many, many Bible scholars, and I would agree with them, and you're going to find Psalm 46, 47, and 48 really have the same setting. What prompted this hymn of praise? And it was the Assyrian invasion of Judah about 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. King Hezekiah is on the throne of Judah. Isaiah the prophet is proclaiming God's message in the city of Jerusalem. Micah, who is a contemporary prophet of Isaiah, he is preaching out in the countryside. And word comes that an invincible army is making their way toward Judah. The armies of Sennacherib that represented the greatest war machine that the world had ever seen to that point. And they were the cruelest. Matter of fact, they were ancient terrorists. They were known for their atrocities, their cruelty. They were merciless toward their victims. And if you were living in Judah right now and news was coming, you knew that war was inevitable. Assyria had conquered nation after nation, and then they finally reached the borders of the northern kingdom of Israel. It quickly crumbled and fell. It was destroyed forever. And then they've now come to the southern kingdom of Judah, and it's on the verge of collapse. The Assyrian hordes have breached the outer defenses. They've taken town after town, and now only Jerusalem remains. Its inhabitants are trapped. They're besieged by the armies of Sennacherib. Could you imagine that? And can I be honest with you? If you're living inside that city, at this moment, you're fearing every day that the defenses of Jerusalem would collapse, and then you know what? You would be killed or worse than that, tortured by the armies of Sennacherib. Sennacherib is gloated. It's in the scriptures that Hezekiah was trapped like a caged bird. Seemingly, absolutely no hope. He sent an envoy by the name of Rabshakeh with terms of surrender. And Hezekiah, here's what I love about it. King Hezekiah was a godly man. And instead of panicking, instead of capitulating to the enemy's demands, he did what you and I need to do in times of trouble. He ran to the only one who could truly help him. He ran to the Lord. Preacher, what should I do in times of trouble? You ought to run to the Lord. That's where we need to run. Amen. Hezekiah goes into the temple in Jerusalem. He spreads out these terms of surrender, this letter from that's delivered by Rabshakeh from Sennacherib that is mocking God, mocking the people of God. And he began to lay that out there in the temple and prayed to the God of heaven. Here's what he prayed. It's recorded in 2 Kings 19. I don't know if it's in your notes or not, but listen to his prayer. He said, this is the tail end of it. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods, that's with a little g, into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they've destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, deliver us, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And can I tell you, that day, that very day, God answered Hezekiah's prayer. He sent an angelic warrior, and in one night, 185,000 Assyrian soldiers perished, and Sennacherib went right back where he came from into the land of Assyria, and his own sons took his life. It's interesting that in the British Museum in London, there's an exhibit dedicated to the history of Assyria and King Sennacherib. There's a six-sided clay artifact known as the Taylor Prism. It's very interesting. And in that cuneiform, this Assyrian tablet, Sennacherib wrote of this event. He wrote about all the nations that he conquered, and then he got to Judah, and he couldn't capture the city. Now, here's what's interesting. He doesn't tell you why. But we know the answer to that. I can give it to you in one word. God. And when you come to Psalm 46, you have a beautiful hymn of praise to the God of heaven. The psalmist is celebrating a great time of deliverance from trouble from Sennacherib. And the same God that helped Hezekiah in his time of trouble is the same God that will help you and me in our times of trouble. Amen? Now, we don't know who the human penman. It may have been Hezekiah himself. It may have been Isaiah the prophet. It may have been an unknown poet in Judah. We don't know who it was. But if you look at the divinely inspired title, it's interesting. He said, a song upon Alamoth. And the word Alamoth is a Hebrew word that means young women. It relates to virgins. It was a hymn that was delivered to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, who led the different choirs there in the temple. And this particular song was to be sung by a young lady soprano choir. It was to be a song of praise and glorification of the God of Israel. The psalm divides in three stanzas very easily. That's marked by the word Selah. All right, you're going to see the word Selah three times. Look, if you would, verse number 3. He's going to say, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Look down at verse 7. Look at verse 3. And he says, shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. And then he says, verse 6, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And then look down at verse number 7. Here's the chorus again. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And so you find these three different divisions of the psalm. Now, preacher, what does Selah mean? Well, that is a musical rest, a Hebrew musical rest. It's a pause. Here's what he's saying. The psalmist is saying, I want you to think about this. I want you to ponder this. I want you to meditate on what I'm sharing. And the truth is, and here's why, the Sennacheribs in life are going to come, and that's when you and I need to run to the Lord. And I'm going to give you some reasons why we need to run to the Lord tonight. Really going to give you one this week and two next week, all right? Are you ready? Number one, here's why we run to the Lord during times of trouble, because He's our refuge. He's our refuge. Look again at verse number one. He said, God is our refuge. Isn't that amazing? He didn't go to Egypt. Hezekiah didn't run to some nation out there trying to look for some kind of human help, somebody to come and deliver him. No, he went straight to the source, the one he knew that could intervene in that situation. He went to God, and he said he is a very present help in trouble. Do you know that phrase, present help, literally means an abundantly available help? Let me just tell you something. You know what? You may reach out there to somebody else and they may not be available, but when it comes to the troubles of life, God's always available. But He's not just available tonight. He is abundantly available. God is more than a match for anything that comes into our lives. He's greater. I don't know about you, but that encourages me tonight. It's interesting that when you're in this section of the Psalms, that the name God, all right, is prevalent in this grouping of Psalms, this book of Psalms, this section. Notice he says, God is our refuge. This is a particular name for the God of heaven that means majesty and might. It is the creative name for God. You find it used profusely in the opening chapter of Genesis. You see, here's what I believe that the writer of the psalmist tells us, the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us tonight. The God who spoke worlds into existence, the God who controls the universe, is the same God that knows my name and your name tonight. That's the same God that has the very hairs of our head numbered. The one who knows when a sparrow falls to the ground and is the one who tells me that I am of more value than many sparrows. That is the God who is my helper. I'm glad tonight that the God of the universe, who is my heavenly Father, is my divine helper. Amen. Notice he said he's a refuge and strength. He's a place of safety. That's outward. Place of strength. It speaks of strength. There's inward. Can I tell you, there's no place on earth or no places on earth of ultimate safety. You say, well, I'm going to build a bomb shelter. Well, I'm going to go out somewhere off the grid. I'm going to get away from everybody. There's no place on planet Earth that provides ultimate safety. We don't even feel ultimate safety in our own homes. Even when we bar the doors and cut the security system on. Isn't that right? But I'm telling you, there's a place of ultimate safety in heaven tonight. And it's in the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing? He is our refuge. Preacher, what does it mean for God to be our refuge? Well, you're going to find this word refuge is used over and over and over again in the Psalms. And it's interesting how often the imagery of that refuge changes. And I'm just going to give you some of them tonight. Are you ready? God, first of all, is our refuge like a rock. He is our refuge like a rock. In your notes, Psalm 62 in verse number 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. Did you see that? Is in God. Psalm 94 verse 22. But the Lord is my defense and my God is the rock of my refuge. You think about this. Many of the Psalms, like the one we just read, were written by David. Psalm 62, when he was on the run from Saul. He's running for his very life. I'd say that David had a lot of trouble in his life. Matter of fact, he wrote over 70 of the 150 Psalms, and many of them have the subject of trouble. I'd say David saw more than his fair share of trouble. What about you? He's a young man, and he's running from King Saul. And he's taking refuge in the caves that honeycomb the Judean mountains. He's constantly being pursued by Saul's henchmen. His life is in constant danger. And so he hides himself in those caves. But here's what I learned from his songs. David's true hiding place wasn't a cave. It wasn't a mountain. It wasn't a rock. It was God. He said, God is the rock of my refuge. He alone was his strength and his rock and his defense and his shelter of safety. Can I tell you, dear friend, tonight, I'm glad that God is my rock. He is firm and immovable and strong. He's our shelter in a time of storm. Hey, can I tell you, their rock is not like our rock tonight. God is our rock. I thought about the hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. Aren't you glad that we can hide in the Lord tonight? He's our refuge. Run to the Lord. But then notice next, God is our refuge like a tower. Like a tower. Look at Psalm 59 verse 16. He said, But I will sing of thy power, yea, yes, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge. Do you see it? In the day of my trouble. And I want you to look at that word defense for a moment, all right? That word defense means a high or a strong tower. In biblical days, towers were built into the walls of a city, and they were very thick. They had very thick walls. They had high elevations, and it provided a sense of security, a place of defense against the enemy. One writer put it this way. He said, "As our tower, the Lord gives us preservation and elevation. God not only preserves me, but He lifts me up." He Himself is between our enemies and us, and through Him we rise above our circumstances. You know what? You and I don't have to live under the circumstances in Him. We can be over the circumstances. Isn't that a blessing? We can see them from God's perspective. Imagine in a time of distress, time of trouble, running into a tower, locking the door behind you. Shutting out all the noise and all the trouble and all the pain and all the temptation, all the struggle. You're on the inside and the enemy's on the outside. That's a pretty good place to be, isn't it? You say, Preacher, I don't have a tower like that. Well, friend, you do. Proverbs 18:10, the Bible says, The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Run to the Lord. Call out to Him. Meditate on His name. Get caught up in the greatness and the glory of your God. Allow Him to lift you above your circumstances. He is high above all. I love Psalm 61 verses 2 and 3 where the psalmist says, From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I like that, don't you? Isn't that good? I'm glad that there's a rock that's higher than I am. I'm glad that there's a strong tower that shelters me from the enemy. The Lord is our refuge like a tower. I'm glad for that. God is our refuge and strength. But now watch this. Let's take another one. God is our refuge like wings. Like wings. Look at Psalm 57 in verse number 1. Psalm 57 and verse number 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. You ever had calamities in your life? He said, God, I'm just going to get under the shadow of Thy wings and I'm going to make that my refuge until all this is over with. Friend, can I tell you, the good news is that you run to the Lord and you can stay in His presence as long as you need to. God's never going to say, okay, we're going to cut the lights out and you can head on to the house. Have you ever heard people talk about how that, you know, people come over to the house and you can stay as long as you want to, but we'll just tell you to lock the door and cut out the lights when you leave. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, God's never going to do that. God's never going to say you stayed too long. God's never going to say, you know what, you just shared too much with me. I just really can't take anymore. You know, you're never going to wear God out, I guess is what I'm trying to say. No. We can come into His presence and we can abide there. David pens these words while he's hiding from Saul in a cave. That's in the very divinely inspired title of Psalm 57. Can you imagine the fear and the anxiety and the pressure that David must have felt as a young man running from Saul, that at any moment Saul's men could suddenly and unexpectedly come upon him and take his life? His troubles were real, folks. They weren't imagined. David, I thought about this. Here he was in that cave, and nobody, no doubt he's feeling all of this pressure and all of this anxiety and all of this fear. And then he begins to think about home, maybe. He's away from home, and maybe he grew up on a farm, no doubt. We know he tended his father's sheep. Probably on more than one occasion he had seen a mother hen with her chicks and the shadow of a hawk flying over, and suddenly those chicks are out and about. They've disappeared and they're all up in their mother's wings. They're under her wings. Place of safety. Place of refuge. Place of care. Or maybe he's thinking of the mother eagle who spreads those great wings and provides shelter and safety for those little eaglets in the nest. Maybe shelter from the sun, safety from the predators. Wings are pictures of God's protective care for His own. Like a mother hen, like a mother eagle, He spreads His wings, so to speak, over us. We're under His wings. Listen to Psalm 91, verse number 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Aren't you glad that God covers us? We're under His wings, sweetly abiding. During the days of the Soviet Union, by the way, not much has changed in Russia, by the way. You know that, right? Christians were threatened by communist officials. They were struggling under what we know as the Iron Curtain in the Asia area, the Bamboo Curtain. But they would often remind themselves that the Iron Curtain and the Bamboo Curtain was no match for God's feather curtain. And I'm here to tell you, whatever trouble you face in life, whatever struggle that you and I have, God's wings, God's feather curtain is a place of refuge and a place of safety. It's a place of shelter. You know, the psalmist is saying, God is our refuge. Don't ever lose sight of that. Here, lastly, tonight, I want to share this one with you. God is our refuge like a fortress. God is our refuge like a fortress. Psalm 91 in verse number 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I thought about a fortress for a moment. Picture in your mind a mountain citadel that walls us in on every side. You know what comes to my mind? The rock city of Petra. The place that Israel will go to during the persecution of the Antichrist, and there for 3.5 years, God will wall that believing remnant of Jews in, and He will care for them and feed them, and He will protect them from the onslaught of the Antichrist in that rock fortress of Petra that right now is setting open and ready to receive God's people during that time. Can you imagine that? You say, preacher, how's God going to feed them? Well, no doubt that He may use people like He did during the days of the Nazi Holocaust, and people would shelter Jews and feed Jews and care for Jews that were being the victims of the atrocities of Hitler and the Nazis. But I believe this. Hey, do y'all believe that God can do anything? And I believe that God that rained manna down from heaven in the days when they were in the wilderness, same God that could rain manna down in the rock city of Petra and feed God's people. Hey, the same God that gave water from the rock so they could drink in the wilderness, be the same God that could give them water out of a rock there in the wilderness. Don't you believe that? I just believe He's a God who can.
Amen.
By the way, God's not lost His power And God can still do miracles today. I believe He's a wonder-working God. What about you? Just picture in your mind a mountain citadel, a mountain fortress that walls us in, a place of safety and security and protection. I believe the psalmist is saying, God, You're my mountain fortress. God, You've walled me in on every side. You're my refuge. You're my hiding place, my fortress of safety and security and protection. Here it was the Jews, the people of God there in the city of Jerusalem. And they're saying, God, we don't have any hope. And the Assyrian army's on the outside. And God, You've walled us in. You're our refuge. Martin Luther, who was a key figure in the Protestant Reformation. Let me just stop and remind us all that if you're a Baptist, you're not a Protestant. Baptists are not Protestants. You say, preacher, why? We were never part of the Roman Catholic Church. Okay, we've always been separate from them. But Martin Luther was a monk that was saved and had a wonderful salvation experience and transformation. And he took a stand against the Roman Catholic Church and he lived in constant danger from the Roman authorities. And he tells of a fearfully difficult and dark time in his life. And for that of his wife Katie, who was a nun that had gotten saved and they were married. The year was 1577. He's been hunted as an enemy of the Roman Catholic Church. His friend, Leonard Kaiser, had just been burned at the stake in the Netherlands. He felt guilty. His friends were being persecuted like him, but yet they had been caught and many of them had been martyred, and Luther was guilty that he was still living. He fell desperately ill. The Black Plague hit Europe. His home was turned into a hospital. Many of his people that he ministered to died. And then his one-year-old son Hans became desperately ill and with death and depression on every side. Luther became deeply depressed. And he began to seek refuge in God as he never had before. And he said that Psalm 46 became the strength of his soul. Here's what Luther wrote. Are you ready? We sing this psalm to the praise of God, he said, because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends His church and His word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world and the flesh and sin. And it became the inspiration for his famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Here's what the verse stanza says. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God's my strength. He's saying, God's my refuge. God said, hey, there's one bigger and greater and higher than anything that comes into our lives. And when trouble comes, just run to the Lord. He's our refuge, our fortress. Stay with me, verse 2. I'm about to bring it to an end. I love this. Therefore will not we fear. We're not going to be afraid. Though. Now notice the word though there speaks of future, what troubles that could be. Uses strong hyperbolic language. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst. Say, what if the earth, the very foundations of the earth were gone? And the mountains that we look at is secure and strong and immovable. They're dropped in the middle of the ocean. Look at verse 3. Though the waters of the ocean thereof roar and be troubled. Though the mountains shake with the swelling, the crashing of the waves thereof. He's talking about things that shake us, things that are movable that suddenly become immovable. He's describing the possibilities of everything that could happen. In that most of the time when you and I are struggling with anxiety and fear and worry and all of these things, we're worried about what could be the those of life, the trouble that could come. Isn't that true? He describes all of these things that could happen. I mean, terrible things. And then he makes the conclusion, therefore will not we fear. You know, he's saying we're not going to be afraid. Christian, we don't have to be afraid. And he sums it all up in verse 11 of why. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of the armies of heaven is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Think about that. If you don't do anything else tonight, I want you to think about two things: that God is with you and God's your refuge tonight. Many of you know Dr. David Jeremiah, know of him. I don't know him. You don't know him personally. But he's a Bible teacher that many people are aware of. He battled lymphoma, and then the cancer came back a second time. And here's what he wrote when it came to Psalm 46 that became a help to him in that difficult days of uncertainty when his cancer returned. He was unsure he could fight it again. And here's what he said: when trouble comes, we can retreat to our refuge who is awesome. How many believe God's awesome tonight? Who is available. How many believe God's available tonight? And ageless. I like that part. Can I tell you, God's just as fresh and powerful tonight as He ever has ever been or ever will be. God's ageless. The next time, Christian, trouble comes, or even the fear of trouble comes, why don't you just run to the Lord? He's our refuge. He's a very present help in trouble. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Lord, thank You for this wonderful Bible study. Lord, we just took some time tonight and opened Your Word and, Lord, sought to understand what it means that You're our refuge.